The prayer was just for me.
Oh, guys. Thank you. Getting my ducks in a row, yeah? All they say. Come now.
Quack, quack. Okay. Look to the person next to you and say, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to challenge you? Amen. Who's been challenged by this series of James? Whose life has been challenged? Who's been challenged on a spiritual level? That's good. Guys, I'm going to continue on the series this morning. Nyameka preached while I was away, and last week was conversions. It was really special. So this morning I'm going to continue the sermon series on James. We've been going through the sermon series of the book of James, and this morning the title is Faith Plus Works Equals Obedience. Let's recap. Next slide. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jasmine, for helping so nicely. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you, Jasmine. So the first one that I started was counting with all joy when you are faced with trials of many kinds. Then after that, we realized that what James is saying to us here, that as the silversmith takes the silver and throws it into the fire and being purified and purified, it's the reason for our being tested. The Bible says that, count it all joy, my brothers, for when you are tested of, when you face trials of many kinds. So what is he saying to us? That character is built during trial times, during difficult times. When character is good, character is built during difficult times. Bad character is built any time, but good character is built in trials. Jesus, when he was led into the wilderness, his character was tested during that time to say that can he withstand the temptations that the enemy has done. Because remember before that, what happened was that his identity was confirmed. And everyone on this earth who heard the voice of the Lord speaking clearly and saying, this is my beloved son. And then the Bible says after that, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And he fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. And then after that 40 nights of being hungry and being in the flesh. Remember, because Jesus was 100% flesh and 100% God. But what happened in the wilderness was that in order for him to come out and to do what God has called him to do, he had to withstand the test that the enemy has given him. Because otherwise, he could have been accused by the enemy. Because remember, what the enemy does, he goes and accuses us. He's called the accuser. So he accuses us for our character, and he says, but look at that person. Look, you say he's a good person, but look what he's doing right now. Is that a good person, God? And God says, don't worry. Just wait. And then God speaks to us. The Holy Spirit convicts us in that moment. We turn around. We do exactly what God is that wanted. And God says to the enemy, look there, I told you. Because our Father always wants what's best for us. Hey? Beautiful. So James is reminding them and saying, hey guys, remember that when we were filled with the Holy Spirit and we were actually, our identities were sealed, because that's where the followers of Christ came along, eh? The followers, they were called the followers. Following of what? Following of Christ. And then later on, the word Christian became a thing. But because they were called followers, they were following what Christ did at his example. And that was a different example to what the Jews were used to. And during that time, they were tested for being different. And then James said, guys, remember, we are called to be different. We are called to teach something different that the world has ever known. And then later on, he went on to say about the planted side, where God says, you hear the word and you do it. You don't come to church on a Sunday, you hear the word and then you keeps it in. Okay. Because what's going to happen? You're going to become a fat cat. Okay. If you only remember that, that's fine. Because that really helped me along the way. A word and intercession that came that really changed my life and challenged me. And reminds me daily that I don't want to be a fat cat. I don't want to be an obese person that can't do anything for myself. I will be able to do stuff that I can do for the Lord. As Paul says, I'll rather work for the Lord. Or David, he says, I'd rather do anything in the house of the Lord than do anything else. And then we went on to the last one. Well, no, pure and undefiled religion. That was the next one. That was the doing of the word, to look after the widow and the orphan. And then the sin of partiality, we looked at, am I going to treat someone who looks differently to myself, to the people around me? Who are you going to look to? Are you going to roll out the red carpet when the CEO of a company walks in, but when the cleaner walks in, you just tell the cleaner, hey, can you please sit at the back? The seat is reserved. None of our seats in this church is reserved. If you want to come sit right in front, please come and sit right in front. I would love it. Okay. Challenge accepted, eh, guys? The anointing falls from the front onwards. Yay! I love it, Richard. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Okay. Then this morning we're going to go on, so I'm just going to go right directly into the scripture. So let's read what the word says this morning. Faith without works is dead. That's the title. What good is it, my brothers, if someone has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and you say to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, without giving them the things they need for their body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself does not have works, is dead. So the theologians look at this and they look at the words that was translated from Hebrews onwards. And the harsh word that is actually given to them, there's no other word to describe what the emphasis is that it's trying to make is other than dead. Francis Chan makes this example. He says that, if I buy my kids a puppy, but the puppy is dead, what use is it to the kids? So he's saying to those Jews who were filled with the Holy Spirit, he's saying to them, guys, if you have faith, but not doing anything about that faith, it's dead. It's count nothing. So that's the harsh reality that he's trying to tell to them. He's saying to them, guys, it's as little as it counts, zero. Don't even worry about it. But someone will say to you, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. Yeah, he's going back to them, to the Jewish culture. He's saying to them, every Friday you say, God is one. He says to them, yes, amazing. and he goes on and he says to them, you do well. Even the demons believe. And they, yeah, hey. You see in the harsh things that he's trying to, the reality he's trying to make to them, he says, if you have faith, but you don't do anything about it, as might as well you had nothing. The same example God loses to the church of Laodicea in the John, in the book of Revelation, the seven churches that's around him, he says to them, if you are hot and cold, I'll still understand, but if you are lukewarm, I don't tolerate you, I'll spit you out. So that's exactly what James is saying to them. Guys, rather be nothing than saying I have faith. Oh, look at my faith. But you don't do anything about it. You're sitting on your bum, you don't go out. God's speaking to you, you don't go out, you don't do anything. He says, it doesn't matter, it doesn't benefit anyone. It is dead. And then he says to them, oh, now you think you are clever. Because every Friday you say, that's the Sabbath, what did I say? Oh, Israel, your Lord, your God is one. He says, that's amazing that you understand the Lord your God is one. But he says, even the demons believe it. Even the demons believe that God is one. And you know what? They understand his majesty. They understand his power. They understand everything. And they shudder. Do you not want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Then he goes on and he takes it back now to them. He's saying, okay, you are Jews. So what do you know? You know the Torah. You've been to the synagogue. You understand where we all come from. You understand whose descendants we are. So let me take it back. Let me take it back for you to make you understand the importance of having both. Was Abraham, our father, not justified by his works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Hey? He's asking them, guys, did Abraham say, okay, Lord, I hear you, but I just have faith that you're going to come through for me anyways. But I don't have any works. I don't go in action mode to say, God has told me to do this, and this is what I need to do. This is the next step that I need to do. We know Isaac was the promise to Abraham. And sometimes we hold on so much to that promise. But he says to them, guys, let me take it back. Our father Abraham, the father of the nations, every tongue, every nation, every language comes from Father Abraham. Did he not have faith and works? You'll see that his faith was active along with his works, was complete by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and he was counted to him righteous. And he called himself a friend of God. You see that the person justified by works and not faith alone. Yeah, he's saying to them, okay, guys, Father Abraham, our father, a very important guy in our history, a father of us, he had faith and works, and he actually showed it. But now they're saying to them, okay, now you can go on and say, okay, but Abraham was a chosen one, he was amazing because he was called a friend of God. And then he goes on and he takes it a little bit more close to home and he says, and in that same way was Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messages and sent them out another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. So he's taking it another step and he's making it more real to them. He's saying, if you don't have a spirit, you can't live. Because the first thing the Lord has given us was his spirit. He puts his spirit within us. And that's what gives us life. That's what relates with him. So now you're looking at me, now you're thinking, okay, this was the Mianic Jews, I'm not a Jew. Now you're looking at me, now you're thinking, Abraham, we pass Abraham. Now you're looking at me, Rahab, okay. She was a prostitute, but she was the only prostitute that is spoken about and someone that was counted righteous. Eh? Because she had not only had the faith, she did the work as well. Okay. So now this morning I want to share with you a little bit about stories. Okay. So they're saying there was an old boatman in one country. And he had a boat, and he had two oars. And on one of the oars he wrote faith, and the other one he wrote works. And the people questioned him and asked him, okay, boatman, so why faith and works? And then he illustrated to them, he actually showed them, he put the boat into the water, let the anchor go, and he just took faith out. And he went out. What happened to the boat was, the boat just circled around, didn't go anywhere. And in the same time, he took works, and he left faith behind, and he started rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing, but the boat just turned in circles, didn't go anywhere. And then he says to them, and the boatman returned, and he says, simultaneously, you were working with the oars, though, like, he's saying to them, you can't just go out in with one oar. Then he illustrates to them and he takes both of the oars. I take faith and works. What happens to the boat? He's able to cross the lake. What a beautiful illustration. Because the boat ain't going nowhere. Same story. William Booth, Salvation Army. Who knows William Booth? Who knows the Salvation Army? So William Booth had a son, Bradwell. And he was old in his years already. And he was advanced in his years, let's put it that way. And he came home one day and he told his son in anxiety, he was like, did you know that there are guys sleeping under the bridge outside in the cold? And his son said to him, yes, Dad. That is the life, that is situations that made it that way. And he says, now why are we not doing anything about this? And that's where the Salvation Army shelter started. Beautiful, eh? So beautiful. Let me take it a little bit closer to home. So my grandfather grew up in a small town of Woolsley. He built the... He worked on the Bainscliff pass. He was working there. He was never accepted by his father. His father was an engineer working on the road, and his mother was one of the ladies who worked on the farm that gave the engineers food. And from a young age, he was rejected. Wasn't accepted by the engineer, obviously, because now I've came from a different country. I'm now working here. I've made this woman pregnant, obviously. And then he just never accepted my grandfather. But my grandfather met the Lord from a young age. And at the age of 16, he left Woolsley. And he took the train. Back then, the trains were still working fine. And he took the train. Came to Tirfley because he had family here. Although before that, actually, his mother married, and then he got a stepfather. And then after that, his mother passed away, and then he had a stepmother and a stepfather. So he had no one who could relate with him. No one that was family of him or anything like that, so he felt like an outsider. And we think during that time is when he met the Lord, and the Lord became his father. And he left the town at the age of 16, and he came to Tirfley, which is now Ravensmead today, because he had family here. And at the age of 19, he came here, he started working, he then worked, met my grandmother. Worked for the council back then, bought a piece of land, put up a sing ducky, that homes. And yeah, their wedding photo was actually taken. I should have put that photo up, yeah, but I didn't. It was actually taken outside of that, outside of the ground that he bought. At the age of 19, he planted his first church. Yeah. So why am I sharing this story with you this morning? The reason why I'm sharing this story with you, because that grandfather, I live in that obedience today. I'm part of that obedience. My father was the legacy of that obedience. My father became the first woman of the church. And when the church was 50 years old, before that they had my grandfather's nephew, old Pastor Africa, they used to call him. And my dad became the first dominie of that church. The church is still standing today. It's functioning well. My brother is very involved there. My mother still attends there. Yeah, the church is going well. It's been through a rough time. But the faithfulness of the people who planted and pioneered and was obedient and said, God, I have faith and I have works. I will go, God. I will go and I will plant. I will show and I will plant and I will pioneer and we will break through this, God. And the day my grandfather passed away was the same day that Lady Diana passed away, the same hour, same time. I always say my grandfather had to usher her into heaven. Because what other general with God chose? At the time my grandfather passed away, they used to call him the mayor of Ravensmead. He was well known in the community. He was a respected man because he had faith and works and he was obedient to the Lord. They lost everything during his lifetime. And he rebuilt the house. And that house is still standing today. He wasn't a man that was scared to get his hands dirty. He wasn't a man that was scared to do what the Lord has called him to do. He was an evangelist by heart. He used to spend 5 minutes with him and you would hear the gospel. Even on his deathbed, the nurses, everyone around him knew him. Carolyn walks into Tigerberg Hospital when she started working there in September 2021. No? Yeah? 2021, the year before Malachi was born. She meets up with a guy and they asked her, your surname is familiar. And they're like, okay, but are you, then she said, I'm family of the Africas. So my grandfather's surname is Africa. And the one uncle looks at her, he's like, what? Are you Tom's Klinkend? Said him, yes. From there onwards, she was handled like a queen. Because my grandfather was the one who kept their mouths open when they had nothing. My grandfather was the one who made sure their family had food when there was nothing on the table. So he lived a life of obedience toward God, a life of suffering. He went through suffering, he was purified, he was tested, but he withstood the trials. And today, his legacy lives on. I can walk anywhere in Ravensmead. No one will touch me. No one will lay a finger on me. When I was using drugs, my grandfather's name still saved me. The drug dealer came to my house one day, opened the door, looked at my mom and said, you look familiar. And my mom looked at him and says, what are you talking about? I don't know you. He's like, you are Tom's daughter. She says, yes. She said, I didn't know you were Bradley was Tom's Klinkend. He said, from today onwards, I will treat him different. I will not give him any drugs anymore. And I will write off every debt that he owes me. And that happened. It's not a story, it happened. Because of one person's obedience. He said, "Our God, I not only have faith, but I have works as well. I'm obedient to step out, God. I'm obedient to step out unto the unknown, and I'm about to follow you wholeheartedly." As God called Abraham, remember, before God called Abraham, he called his father first. And his father didn't want it to go. He called Abraham and said, "Abraham, will you go for me?" And Abraham said, "Yes, Lord, I will go." And today, we are here. Today, we are sitting here. My grandfather's legacy lives on through me, and it will live on through my children and their children and the children's children. Same story with me. The day when I walked into church, I will remember that day. In 20, I'm going to wrap up now. 26th of January 2013. Broken. That morning I come into church knowing that I need the Lord. God, I'm here. I'm going to give my life to you because you are calling me. And the Lord said, "Come and give your life to me." That Saturday, he told me that. That Sunday, I walked into church, no altar call. It's like, "Okay, Lord." The Lord's like, "Go to the front." I go up to Ross and Helmut. I say, "Hey, guys, I'm here to do business." They're like, "What business are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm here to do business with Jesus. I'm here to surrender my life to him. I'm here to give him my yes." I didn't know how it would turn out. But looking back today, I'm grateful. I said yes to Jesus. Where did I show my faith plus works? After that, I came into church, went into a small group, found community. First thing I did, in the community, I learned to serve. Well, serving was in my DNA already because I grew up as a pastor's kid, sitting in front in church, serving, shaking the aunties and wums' hand after church, being the tuchadrarki. Yeah, so I knew from serving from a young age, but the Lord called me to serve that time at Shofar Urban. Young man, not achter die ore, snot in the spirit. But the Lord said, "Go." And I said, "Yes, Lord." I then fell back into my old ways for a little while. I had to call up accountability. So I had to open myself up to accountability. I have to say, "Guys, I screwed up." After screwing up, I came to them and like, "Guys, this is what I did." They're like, "You need to call it off." I did. I was obedient. I opened my life to accountability. Opened my life to community, saying yes to Jesus. Not only saying yes to Jesus alone, saying yes to opening yourself up to accountability. It's yes, opening myself up to walking in community. Then started going through encounters, did encounters one, all of them, and then started Bible school. After Bible school, did Bible school 1, 2, and 3, because I knew I had a call on my life for ministry, but I didn't want it at all. So you knew you have this call, and you're like, you're in this struggle with yourself, and you're saying to yourself, "God, I don't want this ministry because I see what I've done to my dad." But the Lord said, "You gave me your yes." And as my grandfather lost everything during his life, the Lord gave him everything back that the locust has stolen from him. So going through that time, after completing Bible School 3, staying in the big house with Katie, I woke up to Ross. I'm like, "Okay, Ross, I know I'm called for ministry. I finished Bible school 1, 2, and 3. I asked him, "What now?" And he was like, Bradley, there's a lot of guys out there, and some of you might have heard this story already, but he literally told me, if you are called for ministry, you have to go and study to show yourself approved. And he told that to a lot of guys in his life, and he was like, I'm just going to say this so I know he's never going to do this, and I know it's never going to happen. That was both our responses. I remember walking away there being very offended. I was just telling Carolyn when we, because we just started dating back then. But then the Saturday at work at Pick and Pay, I was scrolling through the site that he gave me to go on. And as I was reading, I just felt myself, I need to register. I registered for my studies. And that was my first time when I said, Lord, I have faith. But here's my works. Here's my obedience towards you, God. And that was in 2018. And at the same time, Carolyn put her faith in out with me. We were not engaged yet. We were only dating. We just started. I think we got engaged a month after that. We were dating for a few months. She financially puts in, because I couldn't pay my registration fee. She financially puts in and says, God, I see this call on this man's life. Even though if we don't get married, God, I'm just going in with this. And that was her faith by works and obedience. And why am I sharing the stories with you? It's because God is calling us, each one of us that's sitting here, to step out. We are sent once. We were reminded this week we were sent. God has called us and He will send us in spirit and in truth. But we need faith and works. Can't just say, God, I'll go, but I'm sitting on my bum in church and I'm not doing anything about it. God, I'll be what you've called me to be, but I'm not discipling anyone. God, I'm... That's not how it works, guys. God says, you take the first step. And once you've taken your first step, I'll show you the next step. Let's all stand together this morning. And maybe that is you this morning. You have gotten so many promises over your life.